Showtime.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh. Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not. Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
Good morning, everybody. It is The Drive. The Drive with Say and Piper. I am Lance. Derek Piper to my left. Isaac Ambrose to my right. Day one for him. Trevor Valise has picked a good time to walk away because the Cardinals are red hot. And I know he did not want to sit here and listen to us wax poetic about the birds. Derek Piper, it's not a huge thing to sweep the Chicago Cubs. They are not good right now. But even when they're not that good, it's still hard to sweep them. We've talked about it, that series in which the Cubs have won more games than the Cardinals in the head-to-head in the history of the series. It doesn't matter how good or bad each team is. It's just hard to sweep that other team when it's your rival. But to do that, including a doubleheader sweep, and then turn right around and welcome the New York Yankees to town, arguably the best team in baseball, and you sweep them at home in a three-game series, I think there's so many like records out there saying the Yankees haven't been swept since. You know, I know the Cardinals had never swept, I believe, the Yankees in a series. But to do that, to come off a homestand where you sweep the Cubs and you sweep the Yankees, how good are the St. Louis Cardinals and our fans? Well, I'm one of them. How are we feeling right now, Pipes? It's huge.
The Cardinals have not lost since the trade deadline, and they might not lose again. I think that's where you're feeling if you're a Cardinals fan. In reality, you're just really excited. You're excited that a team, and I've talked about it a lot, going against a contender, a postseason contender, a team that is of top quality, and the Yankees, one of the best teams in baseball, another tied with the second most wins behind the Dodgers and all of the MLB. And I've discussed one of my frustrations with this Cardinals team this season is against teams 500 or better, when you're looking at teams projected to be in the postseason picture, the Cardinals have underwhelmed and have been way below 500 in terms of their record. So to be able to extend the win streak, to be able to, in a big series against the Yankees, take all three games and do it in different fashions also, which is certainly good to see. When you look at Saturday, you got Jordan Montgomery pitching against his former team. He gives you five strong innings. The bullpen was really good as they closed out a 1-0 victory. And then on Sunday, when Waino gets touched up pretty good,
he did.
Your lineup is able to go run for run production wise with a lineup in the Yankees that has produced the most runs in baseball this year. So you're able to outslug the Yankees on Sunday, win a low scoring game on Saturday, and in totality, and there's different ways to pick apart the series, you are able to get it done and extend the win streak to 7, which is the second longest win streak in baseball right now, to the Dodgers, and put yourself in a position to be two games up on the Brewers.
I mean, consider that the Yankees came to Busch Stadium with a record of 70-36. 70-36 is what they entered Busch Stadium. Now they leave 70-39, obviously, but how about a run differential for New York of plus 201? I mean, this is just a team that has absolutely dominated baseball from the start. They have a 9.5 game lead over the Blue Jays, 11.5 over the Rays, and you can go on down the list. And it's just, you know, that East shouldn't be won that easy. But the New York Yankees are certainly just running away from this thing. And then the Cardinals on the flip side, when you look at the last 10, the Brewers go 4-6 and the Cardinals go 9-1. Their run differential now up to plus 84. They're 12 games above 500, and more importantly, two games up in the NL Central. When you look at the standings, which, I don't know, I like to do that about once a month during the baseball season, and then you really start focusing in as it gets late August, September turns the page. That's when you really start watching those standings every day. But to have the Yankees just do what they did and just basically run away from the East and really just dominate baseball like that, I was just completely shocked. And when you look at that lineup and you're just looking at the next guy up and the next guy up, I mean, you lead off with DJ LeMahieu, who is just absolutely can be, I mean, he can just win a game for you if he needs to, and he almost did Sunday. It's just amazing what the Cardinals were able to accomplish. And like you said, not only with great pitching sometimes, but also with key hitting. And one of those guys, Paul DeJong, who we're going to hear from, welcome back, Paulie. Man.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, on Friday, had a huge 2-RBI double late in that game. The Cardinals were down 3-1 going into the later innings and ultimately came back. And DeJong puts the go-ahead run on the board with that two-run double. And I know that there was even a clip going around from the Yankees broadcast of how surprised they were that the yes. Cardinals, number one, didn't pinch hit because they had some lefty bats on the bench that they could then go to. And they're just talking about, well, DeJong's had a terrible offensive season. He finally gets called back up, and you just wouldn't expect him to deliver in that key spot, which he did. And then on Sunday, yesterday, hits the three-run bomb that really gives you that run support, those insurance runs, as you say. Sure. To make you feel good going into the ninth inning as well. So I was even digging up some stats. When he ultimately got sent down, or his early stint of the season, when he plays all of April into May, he was batting like 125 with four extra base hits. Wow. Over through like a month and a half. Now he's been back up with the Cardinals for a week and a half.
Maybe.
He has six extra base hits. So he's already surpassed what he did in the first month and a half of the season. So is he going to be able to sustain it? That's a big question mark. I know that it's easy to pinpoint it. And look, this is what it's fun to be fans, or just fun to analyze the game at different points of the season and the peaks and valleys of a baseball season.
No doubt.
You know, if the Cardinals go to Colorado and lose 2 out of 3, they're like, But, you know, Brad Thompson signing off yesterday was like, this is a really dangerous Cardinals team. And it can be. That's the answer.
Yes.
It can be.
Correct.
If someone like DeJong is playing this way, coupled with Goldie, coupled with Arenado and Carlson, who's played well recently, and if you're going to have Montgomery and Quintana be very solid additions to that rotation, it can be a dangerous Cardinals team. And in the moment right now, it's fun to react and think on the optimistic side based on what they showed this weekend.
What Quintana went like, what, six innings, gave up one hit. And then Montgomery went, what, five innings, gave up like
two hits
and no runs, right? Neither one gave up a run. So you're talking like 11 innings, no runs, three hits from those two. It's not going to continue to do that, right? I mean, does John Mozeliak look like a brilliant man right now? The first time through, is he, in the trade deadline comes and goes, the Cardinals don't part with Juan Soto, or I'm sorry, with all this talent to get Juan Soto. They go out and get Jordan Montgomery and Jose Quintana. The next thing you know, they've won all these games in a row. The other thing is Yadi Molina. And I want to ask you this. I think a lot of times, for probably good reason, Cubs fans and other fans in baseball get tired of hearing us talk about Yadi Molina, right? We probably sugarcoat it. We probably overdo it a little bit with the value of Yadi and what we feel as Cardinals fans, because we watch most every game. We feel what he brings to a team in terms of leadership, no doubt, the way he calls games, et cetera, the way he works with the pitching staff. Well, I'm not going to go out on a limb here and say, well, Yadi's back. I didn't assume the Cardinals would lose. I mean, that's not the case, but how much of it is him? And especially when you've got a guy like Jordan Montgomery and Jose Quintana that are throwing to him for the first time, he doesn't know them necessarily. They don't know him. And I'm sure he watched 1,000 innings trying to figure out how to do this, and they watched innings together. But the fact that they gelled so well, those three, immediately, doesn't that speak to the greatness of Yadi Molina and what he's able to do with his staff?
Yeah, I think he deserves some credit for that.
Or is that one of those, like a quarterback?
It's a small sample size.
A quarterback gets way too much praise when you win and way too much the other way when you lose. I agree. I think we need two or three of those pitching matchups, I guess, or battery mates, if you will, before we go that far.
Right. I think on those two examples in particular, but the reason we can talk about Yadi and kind of the grand scheme of his impact is because he's done it for so long with so many different guys. I know you were making that point last week with the way he manages the pitching staff. So you can tell there, and the pitchers have spoken to this, but even just kind of in watching the game and seeing it all play out, like there's a confidence level that the pitcher has when Yadi is behind the plate, both in what he's calling to make the right calls, you know, in terms of setting up the hitter and the sequencing and everything. And the way he goes to the mound is able to coach guys up as well. So it's one of those that's kind of hard to measure in terms of when in baseball we're so – a lot of people are so analytically driven, sabermetrics, all that. You know, what's his war? What's the war on Yadi's ability to manage a pitching staff? Like, look, he's pretty bad with the bat.
Yes.
And he'll come through with a clutch hit every once in a while, but he's still going to leave a lot to be desired with that. But yeah, I do think there's something to be said for having Yadi back that gives you a little bit of an extra punch as far as that goes on the defensive side and then also just managing a pitching staff. But yeah, in terms of Quintana and Montgomery going forward, we'll see if he can continue to get great outings out of them, just kind of in that contribution from him.
I want to hear from Paul DeJong here in a second. There's about 2 minutes of DeJong after this game talking about the game itself, talking about kind of his comeback and really what it means for this team to sweep a team like the Yankees. Did you, though, get a chance to hear Adam Wainwright on Saturday when he joined the broadcast crew when they had him in the dugout?
I only heard the Albert Pujols impersonation that he gave.
I mean, it was spot on. It was ridiculously spot on because, you know, I don't know if you heard leading up to that. He said, you know, I was able to I guess it was with the Brewers or who was it with? He went up into the booth and called an inning during a game. And Adam was like, you know, somebody, I think Smoltz asked him if that's professional. And he's like, well, it's not. But you know what? He's like, I've been around this game for long enough that I decided it was professional enough. And he's like, and then I come back down to the dugout and I see Albert Pujols. What you doing? Or whatever.
What you doing, Mang?
He's like, that's unprofessional. The way he did it, if you closed your eyes, it was Albert Pujols saying it. It was gold. It was TV gold listening to Adam Wainwright. That guy who is, his family means so much to him. I know he's talked about when he retires, he can't wait to spend time with his family. That guy should be the number one color guy for anything happening in the future in baseball, Adam Wainwright, because he is so good with explaining things. You know he knows everybody in baseball, so he's going to have a story about every guy that comes to the plate. And I think it's just one of those things where I could see him easily filling in or fitting in on a role with Major League Baseball to where he's not just talking about the Cardinals, to where he's talking about the Yankees and their tradition, or he's talking about whomever, pick a team, Seattle, and their, you know, what they've done right and wrong. I just think Adam Wainwright one day will be that guy if he wants to be, and I think he'll be one of the best we've ever heard do it.
I agree. I'm really I'm not too excited to get him out of the Cardinals uniform and off the mound.
Year.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be okay with that.
I would too.
But there's no doubt that he's just thoroughly entertaining, not only in terms of insightful and going to have stories and everything, but he's just a funny dude.
He's funny.
So you mix all that together, and he checks every box as far as an analyst or, you know, being in the booth there. So that's exciting as far as that next part of his career. And I think they rightfully always, whenever, you know, the national broadcasts are in town, they always put him on the headset when he's not pitching.
Yes.
Especially if you're in town for a series. And I mean, he's gold every time, like you said.
And the funny part was he made fun of Willie McGee, or he tried to embarrass Willie McGee. And of course, Willie's sitting there right in front of him. Willie doesn't know that what they're talking about. Willie knows he's on the broadcast. And then all of a sudden, Waino goes, watch this, watch what I do to Willie. And he kind of leans in and he's like, Willie McGee's the nicest guy that's ever been around. He's awesome to work with, and, you know, and Willie's just kind of like grinning and like giving him a quit, you know, one of those. And Adam's like, McGee, because I remember this when he played, he hated the media. Mm. Not in a bad way. I mean, he wasn't mean.
Didn't like the attention.
He hated the attention.
Spoiler up.
Thank you. But to do that to Willie and watch him kind of squirm even after all these years. McGee's like, no, don't do that. I don't want to be on TV. Don't put the attention on me. I thought it was funny. A guy that's not that funny, he's just pretty solid, and he's been solid, really good, with his bat since he's been back. Paul DeJong had some good things to say after that win Sunday where the Cardinals finish out a week of sweeping the Cubbies and the Yankees.
I'm just happy to be here and thankful for my opportunities every day to play here. And, you know, I really appreciate the faith that the organization's had in me. And, you know, for me to be back here, it just means a lot to be able to contribute this way, especially, you know, in the way that we did it today and this whole series. Even this whole time I've been up, it's just felt, you know, baseball has been so much fun.
What has this series been like with the Yankees and the talented packed crowds?
It's a great test for us, almost like playoff baseball. I mean, you saw how long that game was today, back and forth. I mean, just a great series. I mean, 1-0 yesterday, and, you know, we come back in the eighth the other night. So, I mean, it's just a really fun series. You know, those games could have gone either way, but super happy with the way our group responded with every punch they gave us. We threw one back.
Take us through the home run. It seems like that may have been your best swing since you've come back.
Yeah, I mean, he threw me seven straight sliders or something in game one of the series. So I knew I was trying to get something hanging up close to me, and kind of surprised me with the first pitch sinker in. I was luckily enough, I fouled it off, and then just a slider that hung up there in the middle. I just put a good swing on. I was pretty much looking for something soft and up, and got it. And I'm just glad we did, because we needed that extra run in there.
Do you believe in any hits that aren't extra base hits?
Yeah, I've had a few lineouts, some hard ground balls that didn't get through, but you know, I think if I can continue just with guys in scoring position, big spots, just stay within myself and allow my natural ability to take over. You know, it's not, I am trying to hit extra base hits, but it's just a product of getting a good pitch and just being relaxed.
What kind of statement does sweeping the Yankees send to the rest of the league?
Yeah, I mean, it shows that we're a real team, or a real threat, and we have, you know, everything in this clubhouse. We have everything that we need to win, and I think we showed it this series. And for us now, it's just about continuing that progress, never settling, continuing to push the limit as far as beating teams, but also, you know, putting up, you know, numbers like we all can. We have a great squad here, top to bottom. Yeah, everyone in here is committed, and so I think we just showed how much we're willing to fight this series.
All right, that is Paul DeJong, Cardinals shortstop, backup with the Cardinals. And, of course, you know, I think, Derek, I'm not there. I'm not in Memphis, but seemingly a guy that went down and kind of did it the right way, right? I mean, he knew he was scuffling with his swing. He was hitting, like you said, like 130. I mean, it was embarrassing. And he goes down, and it was kind of an interesting thing to watch a baseball game that featured Paul DeJong doing good things, a series in which he does good is doing good things after he kind of helped get his swing back, if you will, and get the confidence back, which we know is so important. And then on the flip side, you watch Matt Carpenter over there, the first game going 2-for-4, and just, you know, just doing his thing as well. And you look at his stats, they're gaudy. They're gaudy to even old school like me, like what he's hitting, how many home runs, how many ribbies. I'm sure the analytics say a lot about it, but it's just amazing how Matt Carpenter, who went literally coast to coast, he said, meeting with Joey Votto, Matt Holliday. I mean, he met with so many different people to get his swing back. And I know the short porch at Yankee Stadium helps, but man, Matt Carpenter is a guy that was so bad with the Cardinals that it was embarrassing when he was in the lineup. And now all of a sudden he's hitting third for one, maybe the best team in baseball with the Yankees.
It looked over for him.
It did.
Like, that's how bad it
kind of like Waino when you said he'd be a bullpen.
Maybe
catcher.
That's where the in the intro it says, "Wow, what a bad take." That is the worst take I've ever given.
Hey, listen though, I was right with you on that. Right,
I was
with
just telling you what it looked like,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, it did. It was trending in a very negative direction. Now, even to a further extent with Matt Carpenter, where he was consistently hitting in that 130, 150 range, maybe on a maybe after a hot streak,
right.
150.
Right.
And finally, it was enough. And Cardinals fans thanked him for the good years that he provided, which were a handful. But then it was like, we just can't watch him at the plate anymore. It's too painful.
It really was.
And I thought the same thing was going to happen with DeJong when DeJong got sent down. Not that the Cardinals had, other than putting Edmund at short and Gorman at second and letting Gorman play most of the games, even against lefties, I was okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did I say Edmundo Sosa filling in at short, like, am I going to be satisfied with that? Probably not, but
mm-hmm.
I would have been cool if you're like, this is the last time you'll see Paul DeJong play for the big league club with the Cardinals.
Same here.
I'd be like, all right, cool.
If you would have taken our temperature at that time, I think I would have agreed with you on that.
Yeah.
That I did not think DeJong would be back up. I'd seen it for a couple of years. He had the one good season where he hit for power, but then I had seen it enough, and I felt like it was enough, what am I trying to say, sample size, yes, as you mentioned earlier, to understand that he's not really going to be your everyday shortstop going forward. Now, it's a small sample size since he's been back. So let's see him get into a rut and what he does with it. But certainly he's been a big part of this Cardinals resurgence here where they've jumped back into first place in the standings.
Definitely. It's just good to see him translate. Because you would see on Twitter highlights of him hitting bombs in Memphis, and you're like, all right, cool, that's nice.
Yeah.
But it's Memphis. Right. It's AAA. He's hitting home runs off AAA pitchers, whatever. And then he comes up in his first two games with the Cardinals in Washington. He hits two bombs.
Yeah.
And then again, big double, two RBIs on Friday. Hits a bomb yesterday late in the game. So he's stacking that together, and I think that's a good sign for his confidence and a good sign that it's not just you're in AAA, you can hit some bombs, and you come up and face big league pitching. It's mm-hmm. kind of the same old story. So that's encouraging, at least in the early goings of him coming back up.
You know what's encouraging? I think the Brewers have the Rays next. So I'm not sure if that's...
I do want to talk about the upcoming schedule because I think the Cardinals for the next 3 weeks...
Let's do it now.
Pretty favorable,
before we take a break,
man.
I was going to tell everybody real quick what we plan on doing today. Ryan Walters was able to speak this weekend. That made it sound like he's never spoken. Spoke with the media this weekend. He is, of course, Illinois defensive coordinator, football. It's amazing. Today it really hit home. Kent Brown got in touch with me and said, hey, Josh Whitman is good to join you guys at Pia's on our first show at Pia's to start the football season, which will be the Friday the 26th, right before the home opener with Wyoming. So we're going to have Josh Whitman come out and join us around 5:15 at Pia's. Excited for that, but when Kent was talking to me, I was kind of feeling that's like literally right around the corner. We're like 2 weeks away.
It's crazy.
From tailgates. And so excited about Coach, he's been called Coach, but Josh Whitman coming to join us. And that will be a fun day. But, man, we're talking football is right around the corner. Week zero is right around the corner. So we wanted you to hear from Ryan Walters to get kind of an idea on how the defense is shaping up. Now, we all know the drill. He's not going to go into extreme breaking down exactly what is going down with injuries and schemes. We understand that. But certainly, I think it's important to hear from Coach Walters. So we'll do that here at the bottom of the hour and closer to the top of the hour. And then next hour, you'll hear from Brett Bielema, who met with the media today as well. They had a little bit of a scrimmage. And, of course, Saturday was one of those where Illinois season ticket holders were able to go and watch practice and hear from Coach Bielema. I think that's a cool thing that he does each year to kind of incorporate the fans, and especially the season ticket holders, with him to get to know him better and, of course, the team better. So we'll hear from Coach Bielema next hour. We'll hear from Ryan Walters this hour. Back to Cardinals baseball before we wrap up this segment. The schedule looks nice.
It's pretty nice.
Okay.
Now, I'll give you the Brewers side of it first.
Okay.
You mentioned the Brewers. They got two with the Rays early on this week, and then a big three-game set in St. Louis against
the Cardinals. Right. They're coming to town, baby.
So beyond that, even after that three-game set in St. Louis, the Brewers then go back to Milwaukee and have four with the Dodgers.
Ooh.
So you go Rays, Cardinals, Dodgers.
So they're in Tampa.
They're
at home.
They're at home.
Okay.
Home in Milwaukee. And then after that Dodgers four-game set, they do get three with the Cubs, and they turn around and go to L.A. to play the Dodgers again.
Man.
So that is a tough stretch for a team that is slipping.
Yes.
And I think you may start to wonder how much.
I mean, it got rid of Hader.
That had to take some juice out of them. And they were already floundering a little bit.
Yes.
That had to take a little bit of momentum or whatever you want to call it out of their sails. On the Cardinals side of it, at Colorado – Milwaukee at home. Milwaukee always, it's a mm-hmm. big series and a tough one, but at home. Then Colorado at home. Then at Arizona. Five-game set at the Cubs.
Oh.
Atlanta at home. Tough one, but at home. At Cincinnati. Cubs at home. Washington Nationals at home.
Oh, my goodness.
At Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Outside of a home three-game set with the Brewers and a home three-game set with the Braves, you're facing some of the worst teams in the National League.
I like what you
for
just
the next
did.
Like 3 weeks.
I like what you just did. Of course, I still think that if the Cardinals win this division, it will all be during that stretch when the Cardinals were playing the Phillies and the Braves and the Dodgers and not doing well. Well, guess what? The Cubs and the Pirates were taking care of Milwaukee. And the Brewers, I felt, could have had a 6 or 7 game lead after that stretch. They should have if they just would have won games, because the Cardinals were certainly doing their part in losing every game. But the Brewers didn't, and the Cubs and Pirates decided to just go ahead and beat up on them. It kept the Cardinals within striking distance, and now you see what just happened this week to where now the Cardinals are 2 games up. So I guess the scary part of that is now if you're the Cardinals, you're looking at that stretch going, well, now they can take advantage of that, and while the Brewers are playing harder teams, they should be able to add games and build a bigger lead. Let's see if they can take advantage of it where the Brewers could not. I like that, man. I like that schedule a lot. I'm thinking I have not even considered going down to St. Louis for a game this year. Now, how pathetic is that? I did go to Milwaukee.
That's right. Andrew and I
went up to Milwaukee. It was their home opener, I think. They played the Cardinals. They beat the Cardinals that day. I'd never seen that stadium. I wanted to go up and see that. And then just life in general gets in the way. Travel, baseball, just everything is just busy. Lucas graduated, so it was just one of those. I couldn't fit in. And to be honest with you, I didn't have the money to fit in travels down there because I was doing everything else. But, man, I am eyeing Saturday night's Brewers-Cardinals game. 6:15, bobblehead. I'm picturing myself about 2:30 nestling down at a little bar stool at Ballpark Village, getting good and ready for the game at 6:15. Want to go?
Yeah, I do.
Isaac looked over the computer. I'm considering it. I'm considering a trip down to St. Louis this weekend. We'll see, though. I'm sure something will
come
up.
You should go.
I need to.
I got to talk to, you know, the wife and see what's up with the kid.
Right. You're in a whole different stratosphere than I am in terms of that kind of stuff.
Yes.
I paid my dues back in the day. Now my kids are grown and I don't care about
them.
Yeah, I don't care about them. I'm like, well, oh, you're starting school. Great. I don't care. I'm going to the game. I'm literally staring at that going, you know what? That Cardinals-Brewers game would be a really nice, especially if you could keep adding some games on them. That'd be pretty cool. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, you'll hear from Illinois defensive coordinator Ryan Walters, who met with the media on Saturday or Sunday, one of the two, after they had met and practiced. And, of course, then today, Coach Bielma met with the media. You'll hear from him next hour. If you want to weigh in, 359-2255. That's 217-359.
Boiler up.
2255. That's the U of I Illini Link text line, which I haven't even pulled up yet. I just did an Albert. Instead of line, I called it a lang. A lang? Is that how he says it? U of I Illini Link text line. So I got to pull that up at the break here. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we're at the Drive 93.5. I'm at Lante ESPN CU.
I'm at DPiper 247. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevyj.com, stevyjay.com. You can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
I'm Demonte Williams. When it comes to hustling on the court, that's easy. You know what else is easy? OSF On-Call Urgent Care.
That's right, Demonte. When you need care for minor illnesses and injuries that's easy to get when and where you need it, OSF On-Call Urgent Care is your MVP. Walk in 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even holidays, or connect with a virtual visit 24/7, 365 days a year. Visit osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Carpet Weavers is flooring their customers. They work with the biggest brands to bring you the best selections and prices on hardwood, luxury tile, carpet, and more. Stop in at 616 West Market View Drive in Champaign and let one of their sales associates help you find the perfect flooring for your lifestyle. Their 100% satisfaction guarantee allows you to be confident in your purchase. Carpet Weavers has been flooring people with beautiful carpet and flooring since 1988. In fact, they're nationally ranked as one of the top 25 specialty flooring stores in the country. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
Need a little good news in your life? State Farm has new lower car insurance rates in Illinois, so you can now get the service and convenience of State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow at an even better price. That's right. State Farm can help you save more cash and get the good neighbor service you deserve. It's the real deal for car insurance. State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow is ready to help you save in Champaign-Urbana. Call Kurt today at 352-1411. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Stop into Game Day Spirit to shop the hottest selection of Fighting Illini gear in town. They carry classics from great brands like Nike, Champion, Carhartt, and more. And with the new styles arriving daily, they're sure to have something for every Illini fan. Shop with them in-store at the corner of 6th and Green in Campustown, Neil and Kirby in Champaign, or online 24-7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
If you're a truck driver or know a truck driver, listen to this. Gail Frerichs Trucking is looking for regional drivers who can also help with the harvest. Help with the harvest, drive in the Midwest, and always be home on weekends. Gail Frerichs Trucking is hiring a regional driver who can help with the harvest and offers great pay and great benefits. Work for a local company who values your time and your family. Gail Frerichs Trucking wants to talk to you. Just email Dixie at gftlog.com. That's Dixie at gftlog.com.
PDR Automotive in Urbana has been providing quality auto repair service for almost 50 years. Trusted by AAA Motor Club, PDR employs ASE-certified technicians that use the latest in diagnostic equipment. They offer nationwide warranties and are even authorized to perform vehicle maintenance that won't void your factory warranty. Check them out 24/7 online at pdrauto.com. When you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Additional greenhouse savings are going on now at Prairie Gardens. Take 40% off all perennials with fresh new shipments in bud and bloom for your summer garden. All 40% off. And save 40% off all ornamental grasses. Plus, all flowering shrubs are 25% off. Shop beautiful butterfly bushes, hydrangeas, and more. Entire stock, 25% off. Hurry in for these summer PG greenhouse savings and more right now at Prairie Gardens. Locally owned plant experts, extraordinary gardening, home decor, and more.
Hail to the orange.
And the Illini in the debut of Brett Bielema celebrate a win.
Hail to the blue.
They have upset number 7.
Hail alma mater.
The land of Lincoln Trophy. Back in Champaign where it belongs.
Fighting Illini football tickets on sale now with ticket packages as low as $22 per game for all 7 home games. Get tickets at FightingIllini.com. Hail to the orange.
Hey, this is Ben from the Humble Hog in Paxton. If you're listening and you've never been to a true barbecue joint, you need to stop a minute and come check it out. It's all about the local meat. It's all about the preparation. So aside from the typical barbecue offerings of brisket and pulled pork, turkey, we also offer our own spin on a few non-traditional sandwiches. You can also find our fine products in some of Central Illinois' best grocery stores. Stop by and check us out. That's HumbleHogBBQ.com.
It's a stress-free summer at Merle Norman Cosmetics. Looks are effortless with the 2022 Explore Color Collection. Ask about the limited edition 12-shade Exploration Eye Palette with guided labels for precise application. Next, swirl on Neutral or Berry Cheek Trio Blush and finish with one of the new plant-powered tinted lip balm colors for shiny, nourished lips. Shop the Explore Color Collection while supplies last at Merle Norman, 706 West Market View Drive in Champaign, over by Subway.
Stevie J Broadcasting's Law Enforcement Official of the Month, brought to you by Crossroads Contractor Supply.
Well, every month we celebrate law enforcement. And today from Champaign County Sheriff's Office, it is our good friend Sergeant Jeff Verkler. We've been doing this 26 years. He is the sergeant, now working days after 16 years at night. So why did you get in this field of work?
I luckily had the ability, physically, emotionally, to get hired for this job. And for that long a period of time, a quarter century, I still love what I do.
And why do you love what you do when you have so many things going on that would say the police are bad?
No, I understand. You have to have a thick skin about stuff like that. I still enjoy it. It is different every day. That's important work. It's exciting, the adrenaline rush at times to go to important calls. The biggest reward is when you can help somebody who cannot help themselves.
Specializing in tools and equipment delivered within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana, visit Crossroads Contractor Supply.
No, I'm cool with pissing off the Bears.
The Bears.
Return the favor.
Yes.
Way more often than I do to them. If you know what I mean?
Isaac Ambrose, who's joining us now, had a thought that we could try to get maybe some former Illini that are now in the NFL, including Doug Kramer, who is getting some first-team reps, I believe, with the Bears offensive line. And we were just talking at the break. I'm like, it's not very easy, I don't think, to pull those guys, you know, to get them once they get into training camp and doing all that stuff. But it's worth a shot. And I said to you, wouldn't the Bears want any kind of positive media or positive attention they could get? I would think they would right now.
They should.
Yeah, especially from a hometown or,
yeah,
you know, he's worn orange and blue his whole life from different organizations now. And so, yeah, any sort of positive light. And I think a lot of what they put out an article about Doug today, basically saying how he, you know, has enjoyed the physicality and he's just, he's a professional dude all around. So yeah. it was putting the spotlight on a positive part of the organization, which everything else from N'Keal Harry to, I don't know what the Tevin Jenkins stuff is going on. There's just not much positive coming out of Chicago.
And you kind of understand what it's going to look like when it starts, right? I don't think it's going to be anything pretty. You don't start with Aaron Rodgers again, do you?
We get the Niners.
Oh.
And then I think week two we go to Green Bay.
Okay.
For a primetime game, of course.
Yeah, makes sense. Let's do it while the Bears are still relevant. Week two. And then nothing after that is what they're essentially what they're saying. My Cardinals are going to be in the same boat, I think. With their schedule that they have, I think I'm going to be right there with you. I don't think any of us. Are you? What fan are you, Isaac?
I typically follow the Bears more. Just
okay.
Going to school up in Chicago. And, I had a couple of buddies with big-time ties to Chicago. So I wouldn't say, you know, if they lose, which, you know, tends to happen.
Doesn't break
a lot.
Your heart.
It's not breaking my heart like if Illinois football loses. But that's who – that's just the easy team around here to root for. So.
It just stinks to have a Sunday where you don't have your team. And what's even worse is if your fantasy team sucks like 6 weeks in. So
yeah,
not only is your team bad, but your fantasy team's bad. And it's like Sundays are supposed to be like a privileged day for me to watch football and enjoy it for six straight hours and maybe nine. And then when you don't have any reason to, it's like, this stinks.
And I think
that's why you bet, Lon.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's right.
But if you stink at that too, then it really puts a damper on going on.
I think we all know.
I told you, blank slate, man. New season.
I haven't even touched my account since the Open.
It's the perfect time to lay low.
Yep. Since I had everything riding on Rory and it didn't work out, I have not touched that FanDuel account.
So I deleted all my apps, so then when the season gets here, I can forget about how bad, you know, I've been at betting recently. But I do think the betting, the fantasy, which is more of what I'm into, it really, you can make yourself enjoy just about anything.
I know.
You know.
Yeah, we're doing our fantasy draft the 21st, so a couple of Sundays from now. Because of the guys, we're all over the place. A guy from Ohio, there's a guy from Southern Illinois. It's just hard for us to get everybody together. So we decided on, I think, the 21st is the date, which is really early, and that's earlier than we've ever done it, which you get into that worry about an injury. So that is something that we'll bring in to play this season. But I'm just ready to see the boys have a beer, do some drafting, and go from there, right? I won the title last year, so bring it.
Defending champ.
Thanks to Simeon.
It's just – fantasy is so cool, too, how – I know this is major tangent, but I have a few guys that I've been – doing fantasy with since freshman sophomore year of high school, and we probably wouldn't talk besides
no, it's true,
besides being a part of the fantasy league and keeping up with each other, you know, every year. And I think last year, how many people got hurt between people's fantasy drafts and the regular season? That's why so many people, I think we're doing Labor Day this year.
Yeah, you
normally wait. I would just like to do it just because I'm so antsy, but last year there were so many injuries. I know the Ravens backfield and other places, but Cardinals might have another wide receiver get in trouble before the season starts.
That team just needs to get the season here. I'm done with all the drama off the field. Just get the season here and start playing. That's what I want to know. All right, Ryan Walters today. By the way, Isaac, good to have you back, my man.
It's great to be here.
You've kind of interned a few times. You kind of came back and produced with us. You always came and said hi, which was cool.
Yeah.
But now you're taking over for Trevor. We'll get more into that as we go along.
But certainly excited to have you. I know you're going to do a lot of the production stuff for the station in general and also for Derek and I. So excited about that and looking forward to you joining the team. So congratulations. You also kept your main job.
I did.
Which is cool. So you're able to do a little bit of both.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, radio, and ever since I interned with Jeremy and been here off and on since 2019, it's really been just a passion. And honestly, that was such an awesome internship with Jeremy and Austin that summer, that, and helping out with you and Carp as well, that I wanted to stick with it and eventually get back into it. And you guys have been awesome for letting me.
Here you are.
Let me tune in and everything. But Trevor, those are big shoes to fill.
They are. So, they totally are.
Going to work into it.
But you'll be fine. He's a Cubs fan. I mean, he can't be
that. And we sent him off the right way. So we feel good about it.
Oh, my, did we.
You could tell he loved that.
Woo! That was a professional night.
Good night.
That was a good night. All right, Ryan Walters, defensive coordinator, Illinois football, met with the media. How are things going right now, Coach?
On you for the first week of camp.
I'm really surprised about his maturity level and his football IQ. He's learning the defense at a fast pace. Sidney Brown's kind of taking him under his wing. It's funny. He looks like Sid, acts like Sid a little bit. So he's a carbon copy, just a little bit taller. But he's playing fast. The stage hasn't been too bright. He's gotten some reps, with the twos and with the ones, and as a result, his progression has been good. So I'm happy with where he's at right now.
It was an interesting evaluation. Took some time. What did you guys see towards the end of that process that you liked?
Well, it's interesting. Last summer I had back surgery in June, and he came for a workout. Now this was after he did a track meet and then drove 3 hours from home. Came to the workout for Coach Henry, Coach Gio, and Matt will tell you it wasn't the greatest workout. Just his legs were dead. Standing in the car for forever, and then trying to come out here and earn a scholarship. It was a blessing because I wasn't here. And then we watched the tape throughout the season. He obviously had the year he had. On those Friday nights, and then Coach B sent me out there to go watch him work out during the evaluation period. And I remember calling him and be like, Coach, this is a no-brainer. We gotta sign this guy. So we got to know him and his family. He comes from his mom is awesome. And so we ended up offering him a scholarship, and I'm glad he's here now.
You just talk about the depth on this defense. Looks like you're still kind of working through that to find the twos and threes.
Yeah, obviously that's what fall camp is for, just to try to find the right combination of guys at every spot and create some competition within different position groups to try to gain some depth. That's what the goal is and what we're trying to do right now.
People have talked about Calvin kind of doing a lot of work to kind of lose some weight. Has he kind of looked different or kind of had a different game?
Absolutely. Our nutritionists have done a great job with him and his diet and Tank and his crew. Being diligent about what kind of workouts he should be doing, and then obviously Calvin taking some ownership over it, and he looks good out there.
What's been Seth's progress maybe since you first got here to through last season through the spring, now first week of the camp?
Seth is in a position now where he's like, he is the guy, and so he's acting that way. He's transformed his body too from a year ago. Again, I can't speak highly enough of Tank and his crew. And what they were able to do during that 8 weeks over the summer. So I think that's given him confidence. He's prepared, and preparation breeds confidence. So that's what he's doing so far at this point in camp.
Where's that confidence, maybe understanding that he could be the guy? What's that done for him just on the field?
He got no choice but to be the guy, So he's taking ownership over that role, and that's what we need from him.
On a day where you don't have Sid, it seemed like communication was still pretty high. It didn't look like you guys had a lot of breakdowns.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you guys heard me talk about, it's going to take all 11, and all 11 need to be on the same page. And the best defenses I've been around, all 11 speak. And so that's what we're trying to preach. And you can be out here at practice and hear everybody talking, communicating. Shouldn't be any secrets on defense. So as long as they're doing that, everybody's on the same page, we'll have a chance.
How much more of an impact can Calvin make now that he's kind of made those changes with his body and gotten used to the scheme?
Yeah, the impact he can make is completely up to him. When he when he is locked in and playing with proper technique, he's special. It's just trying to get him to do that consistently, and he has become more consistent. And I think, you know, guys on the team have been trying to hold him accountable, and he's taking some ownership and accountability himself. And we're going to need that for him to get to where we're trying to go this season.
Is D'Angelo kind of in that same group there with Tariq and CJ? Like, what has he shown you to kind of
prepare himself? Yeah, I mean, he's one of the faster guys we got in that room. He's really, really smart, really tough, consistent. You know, those three guys are competing right now, and it's fun to watch.
Expect Sid back soon?
Yeah, he's fine. He'll be all right.
That's Ryan Walters, Illinois defensive coordinator. I literally was in the middle of trying to figure out. I had asked you because Illinois essentially plays a 3-4 on defense, and for those that are scoring at home, that means you have three big linemen on the line, and then essentially four linebackers, that two in the middle, two on the outside. But then I asked you guys, I'm like, didn't we come out in a 4-3 against Nebraska because we kind of fooled Scott Frost that first game? But maybe not. I can't. That's way long ago. So
I do remember Scott Frost saying something to the extent of, we didn't expect them to do whatever they did.
Mm-hmm. Scott Frost! Our guy. We do play them this year, right?
In Lincoln.
Oh, that's right. We go to Lincoln. Okay. All right. I'm good with that. I mean, this is a big year for Scott Frost. Big, big year for him. I'm anxious to see what kind of a year this Illinois defense is going to have, because you did lose some talent off this defense. However, when you think about that first week, and I know Trevor said it correctly one day, that I took a lot into a half of football with Calvin Hart. But there's something about the naked eye that sees something and says, okay, that guy, he belongs out there, and I think he's really going to help this team. And in that first half of that very first game of the year against Nebraska, I know he returned the fumble for a touchdown. And that was a big play, obviously, we all remember. But he was flying around making plays. And where I'm from in the horseshoe, you know, I'm behind him, essentially, or in front of him, whichever way you're looking at it, if they're going away from me or coming at me. And you can really see kind of the side-to-side speed, kind of who's making the bigger impact. That's one thing that I think I get to take advantage of with having like an end zone seat looking at the field. And Calvin Hart was flying all over the place. And I made mention to a couple of people that sit by me, you know, some fans. And I was like, man, this Calvin Hart kid, I think he's going to be really good for this defense. And then the next thing you know, he goes down with a knee injury and doesn't play the rest of the season. So at that point, I was really like, oh, no. I mean, that's going to be a major blow. And, of course, you're coming off a victory over Nebraska. So you're thinking to yourself, okay, we got one of them taken care of. I know we've got games that are winnable on this schedule. Let's get to a bowl game. But for this defense then to turn around, and I know that it went through the bad image, and something we'll never get over our head was that Virginia game. But for them to turn around even without Calvin Hart and do what they did – really makes you think that Ryan Walters has got things figured out, and Calvin Hart's one of those guys that I'm sure he's excited to throw him back out there and see what he can do.
Gotta be. I mean, to look the way he did against a Big Ten opponent in Nebraska, it'd be one thing if he flashed in a game against Eastern Illinois or Texas State or a lower level game where you're not against top notch Power 5 athletes, and Calvin Hart coming from a Power 5 program and then to fly around like that. And let's be honest, at Illinois, when you have I'm not saying he's an elite level athlete,
no,
but when you have someone that is upper tier for sure, Big Ten talent as far as athleticism goes, that seems to stand out on Illinois' team when they just don't have those guys at every position.
Yep.
So for him to do that and then to make the big play and take it back for a touchdown, that was exciting. And I think that if he's able to stay healthy, he's shown the signs, even in admittedly a small sample size, that he can be an impact player, and we'll see as it goes on. I mean, there are big shoes to fill, even just to be what Jake Hansen was on that defense. Can you be consistent? Can you be a sure tackler? That those type of things that then go hand in hand with being able to get sideline to sideline. So, but yeah, Ryan Walters earned a lot of respect, even with the losses that this defense has withstood, and we've mentioned it throughout the offseason. I'm not fully just going to assume it's going to be a bad defense.
Right.
And they even got more talent than some defenses in the past, where we can talk about Keith Randolph, Johnny Newton, C.J. Hart, Devin Witherspoon that's getting a lot of rave reviews here recently, Sidney Brown.
Right.
So they got some names on that defense, but I do think they'll take a step back because of what Ryan Walters did with them last year. I think there's in even that, I wouldn't even call it a sliver of hope, but you're holding out a little bit of a wait and see to, because maybe Ryan's going to do it again. Maybe he's going to put together a unit that's a lot better than people expected again.
He learned a lot of respect and a lot of money.
No doubt.
Seven figures, in fact. So one of the highest paid defensive coordinators in football right here at the University of Illinois. So definitely that. And a guy that, let's be honest, if he continues to do what he did last year and can build on that, is a guy that a lot of colleges will want to hire as a head coach. So you will then have to start worrying about that, keeping Ryan Walters here as a defensive coordinator, because, I mean, Brett Bielema even said it. I mean, he's going to be a head coach. He's like, I mean, Ryan Walters will be a head coach. It's just a matter of time.
Right.
And I think that that is something that – now, wasn't he a head coach at did he have a stint as a head coach and then went back to Missouri as a defensive coordinator? I know he played at Colorado. Maybe I'm getting that confused with that. Maybe I'm thinking that he actually –
I don't think he's been a head coach.
Okay. I don't know why it was –
He did play at Colorado.
Okay. That's what I think. Maybe that's what's messing me up, that I was thinking he went and coached Colorado. But so, I mean, this is a kid that is an up and comer and has a really good football mind. And obviously the players love him. And I just think we'll be lucky to keep Ryan Walters around for a while. But Josh Whitman stepped up to the plate, doled out a lot of money. So $1 million talks.
It certainly does. Yeah. So, but if he does have another overachieving defense,
yes,
with a group that on paper you wouldn't expect to be a top 30, whatever, wherever they're ultimately going to rank caliber defense, then not only would he maybe be in contention for a head coaching job, but also those top level programs like LSU, Oklahoma, throw them all out. USC would say, no, we're going to pay you like a smaller level head coach to be our DC.
Good call.
But again, if that's in the cards, it's because he's put the product in the field.
Yep. And we'd be happy about what we're seeing. Brett Bielema met today with the media. When we come back, you'll hear from him. Also, Edwin Diaz. I don't know if you've seen this. He is the Mets closer, and it is the best. What do they call it? Entrance song, I guess, yes, would be it, as he comes in from the bullpen. And if you've not heard it, it is one of the coolest things. We'll play that next hour. It's hilarious. I love it. All right, we're back. It's The Drive.
If you're a truck driver or know a truck driver, listen to this. Gail Frerichs Trucking is looking for regional drivers who can also help with the harvest. Help with the harvest, drive in the Midwest, and always be home on weekends. Gail Frerichs Trucking is hiring a regional driver who can help with the harvest and offers great pay and great benefits. Work for a local company who values your time and your family. Gail Frerichs Trucking wants to talk to you. Just email Dixie at gftlog.com. That's Dixie at gftlog.com.
Hi, this is Chris Jackson with Kramer Siding and Window, and we're proud to be your choice for the 2021 People's Choice Awards for the third year in a row. We want to say thank you by offering buy one, get one, 50% off on all windows. And you can save 10% on roofing, sunrooms, and decks. So call today or visit us at KramerSiding.com.